Thank you. I don't know if I should consider the appointment to New Zealand or promotion or just what. By the way, in case I pull off my jacket, I got my name tag over. Or maybe I've goofed this job up here so badly they decided that they'd move me far enough away. It wouldn't be too much of a problem. If you're not going to New Zealand, or you won't be going there. It's not one of those places you go to get someplace else. So we're going there. Someone asked me, are we going by boat? That means by ship to sailors, of course. And I said, no, we'll be flying, I trust. I made that by ship once on a tugboat, and that's enough for me. It takes several days. In fact, it takes the better part of a month on a tugboat. But I enjoyed the trip. I was only sick once. In fact, I was only sick once in my whole Navy career. It lasted 4 years. So I trust that I won't be too sick. But it's a lovely place to live, and we're looking forward to it. I don't know. I must go miss out on a lot of my rewards in heaven. I've lived such places as San Diego, California, and San Francisco, and Northern California, and here in lovely, cool Colorado, and now New Zealand, probably to finish out the cruise. These are some of the finest places in the world, and lovely people and lovely places. So I know I'm not going to get rewards for that kind of suffering. I don't know who's going to get the suffering. Texans, I guess. Well, I know the people in Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas aren't going to suffer because that's too nice a place to live and the pheasant hunting's too good. You wouldn't. Yeah, you like that? Thought I'd just put that in, that little rule. Be sure I got off on the left foot. You know? I have the foot and mouth disease, you know, open mouth, change feet. Munch vigorously. I just added that the other day. I see some of you identify. When you laugh, you identify, you know. Man. I didn't know just if I would be able to dispense this particular message or not, so that's the reason for the outline. You know the pastor who had this church up in Wyoming, and this particular Sunday it was a snowstorm and only one rancher came out. He went out and he didn't know what to do, so he decided to give the message. So the rancher was sitting down there in the little chapel, little church, and the preacher got up, and sure enough, he preached a full-length sermon. Boy, he really wound up, and just him and the farmer, him and the rancher there, and he went back to the back of the church, you know, and shook hands with him, and he said, well, what do you think of the message? He said, well, I thought it was nice. He said, well, got any suggestions? He said, yes, I do. He said, I'm a cattleman. I said, I feed a lot of cows. Once in a while, he says, I take a load out, and there are not many cows there. And if just one old cow shows up, he said, I don't dump the whole load. So in a desire to dump the whole load, I wrote it down. I didn't have the courage to put the two extra pages that I have here. Well, you will be having a discussion later on, and you'll be doing a study later on. And your study will be in Luke 14. And while you were singing, standing, I was sitting, reading. And your study will be from Luke 14, starting with verse 25 to 35, and I'll read here in the original. And there came, this is original King James, and there came great multitudes with him, and he turned them away. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether it be sufficient, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, whether the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's many blessings in this passage, but one that you get from obvious reading is the long haul, or you want to finish what you start, a building or a war or life or whatever. And I think it's an excellent passage to study for this particular conference, because you do want to complete what you have started. Now, some of you are well on the way, as our announcer announced earlier regarding the bald-headed people. You're well on your way in life, and you're well on your way in the Christian life. And this is where the Word of God comes in. I want to follow this outline, the value of the Word, the Bible. Some things the Word will do. By the way, I gave this so you can use it, because you can take off from this and make hieroglyphics all over it and make it your own and rewrite it. But basically, there's three things that that you need the Word for. You need the Word for many more than this, by the way. Many, many things. But these are just three, and three that you can use in your own life and your own teaching. We're saved through the Word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Last night I was up at trail camp. We have a real going thing on this trail camp. There's about 12-15 fellas with 3 or 4 counselors, and they work out from a base camp up at Eagle Lake where the boys' camp is. And they go out and they pitch tent and develop their own sanitation facilities. They develop their own water supply. It's colder than Pharaoh's heart, so they have a little hole of water there coming out of the mountain for a refrigerator. And, of course, all the stuff now comes in these plastic bags, so they keep it cold, and they just have a ball. They live on the land, not from the land. We cart food out to them, pre-cooked food, really, and they heat it up in Dutch ovens and so on. Today, they're going out on their solo. Each fellow will take his poncho and his piece of plastic and some bouillon cubes and some concentrated soup, and he'll be directed by his counselor. And he'll go out on his solo. And he'll stay this afternoon and all night until tomorrow morning by himself with his God, with his Bible, just himself. He knows in case of an emergency or an appendicitis attack or something, he could holler, and they have signals and so on, so that there's no danger involved. But just being up in the Rocky Mountains, and you can be all alone. It's one of the few places, I suppose, in the world where you could do this, such as this. The water is pure. You can dig a hole and the water will come right out, and it's better than the water that you drink. It's just wonderful. Last night I was up there, and we got to talking about being born again. You know, if you're born again, that denotes that you've already been born. You know, if you eat again, it means you've eaten once. We hope we eat again in a few hours. Well, when were we born? Well, we were born when we came into this world. Nicodemus in John 3, he said, Lord, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother and be born again? And the Lord said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. And we're born again when the Word of God is implanted into our hearts. Some of you who are farmers know that you could prepare your soil. I'm a farmer, too. I have about 300 or 400 stalks of corn I'm trying to grow. My wife was irrigating her peas and drugged the hose over part of it, but... I got a few stalks left. She apologized, and I said, "Mama, let me show you how to move a hose." So help me, she let me show her. You pull it all the way out to the end, and you go back up the other row, see, a little further there and so on. But the tractor I use is of a vintage of yesteryear, and the plows wobble quite a bit, so I... so much for the farming, but in order to have a crop, you must do several things. Not only you must plant you must prepare the soil and fertilize and spray and insecticide and all such as that. But it seems kind of ridiculous, I know. But you have to get your driller out there, and so help me, you have to put seeds in this driller in order for it to be planted. If you put husk, what would happen? Some of you real brilliant people. What would happen if you put husk in the plant? What would happen? Pardon? And clog it up, one thing. But but if you did get it to dispense, it wouldn't anything happen, because there's no life in the husk. Life is in the seed. And so it is with the Word of God. The life is in the Word. James 1:22, "Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that shall we be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." 2 Timothy 3:15, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And that from a child, from a baby. The other day, our little Bonnie, 5 years old, you'll see her running around you, screaming out on the lawn someplace. She said, "Mommy, if I've invited Jesus into my heart, why do I still do bad things?" Well, we talked about that for a while, but... Mama said, "When did you invite Jesus into your heart?" She says, "The other day after class." She said, "What class, honey?" She said, "After child evangelism class." She invited Jesus into her heart. Now, the soil has been carefully prepared. Some time ago, with your permission, I'm going to get rid of some of these pens. I want to be sure I had my name. Well, they don't bother you. They just stick you. See, at the wrong time. See? Where was I? Oh, some time ago at a couple's conference, someone asked us, "When do you start praying with your children?" And Helen looked at me and I looked at her and we thought, "Huh, when do we?" So later we talked and, well, before they were born, before they even conceived. See, we were both Christians before we were married, and we prayed about getting married because we were both consecrated Christians, Spirit-filled. We prayed... in order that she might conceive. Then we prayed all during the time she was carrying the baby. Then we prayed during the delivery. A particular father does the praying like that. You know, I was down there at the hospital there in Alameda, and old boy come through, and I was really sweating, and he said, "Mr. Crawford," he said, "don't worry." He said, "It's been years since we lost a father." That didn't seem to help. So we've been praying over those children and over the crib. We prayed over the crib when the little old baby didn't know what was going on, you see. But the nurse and everybody, even heathen doctors, tell you that the temperament, the talk, the language of the parents and nurses and whoever look after children affect the child. And evidently it does. That's the reason Paul told Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And many of you have known the salvation of your children at a very early age. Real, real born again. Our little boy has a burden for souls. He accepted Christ when he was 6 years old. And he's going to Bible school now. This is his second Bible school at two different churches. And one reason he's going is Mike is going. And Mike is a bartender's kid down the street, or down the valley here. And Mike is going, a real fine little boy. And Mike made his commitment to Christ. Where did it all happen? It all happened because the Word of God was implanted in these precious children's heart. It's not because they were born in the old bald-headed John's family, or they had such a wonderful woman like Helen for their mother, are you as fine as you are, though you be Ma or Pa? It's because of the Bible. It's because of the seed. You know, so help me, if a drunk was sober enough this particular morning to run your tractor and planter, he could plant the seed and the seed would never know it, honestly. You know, if he could get it between the rows, you see. You know, and you'd have a tremendous crop because it has nothing to do with the tractor driver. The seed's got to be planted. Well, I got that through. The written word, the Bible, tells us the living word. Now, we know that there's not any particular advantage of this particular paper, this original here, you know. You like the King James? I do, simply because once you take the King James translation and study the meaning of all those words, you'll know a lot about the Bible. And I've done this for nearly 30 years, and I just wouldn't take anything because I got these hieroglyphics and these marks all in here, see, and some kid can pick up a new translation, he don't have to go through that, but he doesn't remember it like I do either. I don't think he does. You know this, did I tell you there's three ways you can tell? I told you that, yeah? Three ways you can tell when you get old, when you're getting old. One is that you get forgetful, and... Bud, what was those other two? Bud doesn't remember. Well, Bud, one thing, Bud's not getting old. But the living word, our wonderful Lord Jesus, he is the living word of God, Revelation 19:13, and his name is called the Word of God. That's one of his names, the Word of God. He is the living Word. Jesus is the perfect expression spoken of, living of God. The Word is the perfect expression of God in a written form. Acts 4:12, neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Little boys last night were talking about some of the people and all of their gods. But you know, and I know, and the Bible teaches rather plainly that he is the only one that saves. It's the name of Jesus. It's interesting, like in our particular country, how the name of Jesus is used. It's practically on everybody's lips every day, all over our wonderful country. Now, most of it is in profanity, but why don't they use some other name? But they don't. They use his name. Because Hebrews says, men swear by the greatest. And his name is the greatest. And they testify that it's the greatest because they swear by the greatest. So it's his name is well known, but it's his name whereby we're saved. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I didn't know this by heart, so I had my secretary write it out. Those that are written out, I don't know by heart. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, now look, notice that, see, when you receive the word of God, what you underscore that, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually, now that's a good word, you have to kind of scrunch up your bottom lip to say it, effectually worketh also in you that believeth. See, this seed planted in this wonderful soil, this warm sunshine and rain, comes up because there's life in it. And so this seed planted, the seed of the word of God planted in your hearts by us, Paul says, works effectually in you that believe. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now here the word was preached, but the people didn't believe it. So it didn't profit, you see. That was seed that fell among thorns or something, rocky ground. John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, rather, first part of that verse, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There's something about the Word of God that's piercing. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when the Holy Spirit of God comes into our hearts, and takes the word of God, the wonderful message, we are born again. Why salvation? Because man is lost. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? One translation says incurably wicked. Who can know it? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's another interesting passage in Proverbs 14:12. Before every man there is a way which seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Folks, I think I have one basic problem. That's faith. Faith and believing the Bible. Now listen. Before every man, that's me, Bud, Gerald, Chuck, Hope, Susie, Maria, before every man there is a way that seemeth right. You, your way seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you believe that? Well, not me, John. Oh, well, we all make mistakes. We all do. What's that one? That's a cover-up. It won't help you a bit. You have to say, I make mistakes and I just blew it, to have any effect at all. Before every man there is a way which seemeth right. You. You're wrong most of the time. Did you know that? Don't feel badly. Because you're finding it out doesn't change things. It just means you got the information. Before every man there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's why it's so necessary. That's why it's so necessary. Ask a man down the street. You know, you love God? No. You hate God? No. You think much about it? No, not until some clown like you comes along in a bundle. Didn't thought much about it. Hadn't given much thought. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. When you tell this man he's lost, he doesn't want that. What do you mean, lost? Man, I've been living here for years. You know, lost. What does he have to do to go to hell? Get all fouled up and sin? No, just keep going. Smile, be a nice guy. Because it says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, a long time I thought it was sin that sent a man to hell. I really did. Did you? Do you still? No, he paid for that. If I owed some money and Bud paid the bill, I don't owe any money, Bud. Then I wouldn't owe the money, would I? I'd be obligated to Bud, but I wouldn't owe the money because the bill had been paid. And we owed something to God, the debt of sin, but it's been paid. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid the price. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's what a person does with Jesus Christ. That's the reason he needs salvation. Okay? Point number two. The value of the word in building. After a person becomes converted, after a person is born again, after he comes into this life, he needs to be taught. Just like a person needs to be taught. You see, a boy born in Mobile makes just as good a communist as one born in Moscow or Havana. Where you're born has nothing to do with what you learn. It's what you're taught. If I'd have been born in Jersey, I would have probably had a Jersey accent. But I was born in Alabama. And it's with me the rest of the cruise, you know. This boy from Texas and a boy from Jersey, they were out for a walk on the bivouac, and a boy from Jersey said, "Ooh, what a pretty bird." And a boy from Texas, he said, "Man," he says, "that's not a bird, that's a bird." And a boy from Jersey said, well, he chirps like a bird. Now, whether it was intentional or not, they were taught that way. Absolutely, they're taught that way. With your children, with my children, we go over a lot of things. Lawrence Annie said that I think he told his children if they'd learned to close the door, break the bread, and say thank you, he'd send them to college. You know, something like that. And when you start, our children are small, but you realize the problems that are ahead of you to teach them. But they really do. They catch on fast. Sometimes they catch on some of the wrong things we do, but whatever they do, we taught them. This little beatnik kid, you know, he came home from school and his report card was just terrible, just terrible. And he asked his father, he says, what do you think's doing this, Daddy-O, heredity or environment? Well, if he was sleeping under Pa's roof, Pa had a lot of the responsibility. You believe that? I tell you, you believe it. Eli. God told old Eli in 1 Samuel 2. Eli had some boys, and they were very, very wicked. And they were adulterers and so on. Eli was a good boy raiser because he raised Samuel. Samuel was a priest, a man of God. But Eli's boys were wicked. And God said, for I have told him, speaking of Eli, for I have told him that I'll judge his house forever because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. I don't think you're going to suffer for your sons being wicked, but I think you're going to suffer for not fighting them every morning at daybreak. That's right. I think you'll take them on every day. And anybody else, your crew, friend, wife, or what have you, I think that what people do, you can't always control it. But you can get in there with all you've got every day of your life. And that's the part we're going to have to stand judgment for, is what we do about it. Abraham. Genesis 19:13. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. When a person is born again, he needs to be taught. Just like when a little boy, a little girl is born into this life, they need to be taught. They need to be taught, you know, to use the fork, you know, or the knife, you know. My little girl used two spoons. She's real clever at this, you know. If she'd have been Chinese, why, I'm sure she'd have used chopsticks. And we only have two children. We're thinking about having three children, but we read that every third child born in the world is Chinese, so we thought two might be. First Peter 2:2-3. You know that one by heart, don't you? Ready? Let's give the reference and the verse and the reference. Ready? First Peter 2:2-3. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter 2:2-3. You grow as a baby by application of the word of God. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. These young men he was writing to in 1 John 2 were strong because the word of God abideth in them. He was about to leave the church there in Acts 20:32, talking to some oldsters. I'm sure they were older than we are, but anyway. And now, brethren, Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread only, or bread alone. Now, you need some bread to live, obviously. I read a cartoon the other day where this old boy was talking about his riches. He said he knew that he couldn't take it with him, but he did want it to last till he left. And I think that's good aspirations for all of us, you know, look after ourselves and have enough bread until we leave. And then you can make out your will and leave it to whomever. If your kids don't need it, and they probably don't, you should leave it to some worthy mission cause. But it isn't bread alone that we live by. It's by the Word of God. You know, what are we feeding on? What are you feeding on? What am I feeding on? Are we feeding on husk? Or feeding on the Word of God? You know, I don't know all the meaning of this in John 6, but I put it down, and you can ask your pastor what all it means. He says, I am the living bread. Or maybe you know. Jesus said, I am the living bread. Jesus said in 53, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now, this reminds you of cannibalism, but this is because we are so shallow. I read a cartoon, not a cartoon, but an article the other day. This kid was 15 years old in New York. His father said, used to. He was interested in baseball and girls and studies and movies and lots of things. Now his whole life is dope. It's how to get it, how to smoke it, how to find others who have it. His whole life, he lives from daylight to dark, even in his sleep, for dope. That's what you call feeding on it, you see? Feeding on it. I've known housewives who fed on improving their home in drapes and rugs and carpets and place settings and having people over. Their whole life they fed on it. I've known fellas who fed on duck hunting. I sympathize with them. But, that's right. You know, you've known people who fed on golf, you know. You heard about the golfer who teed off and he sliced it over and went through a plate glass window and put another ball down and he sliced it over and he hit a lady over there and he called an ambulance. You know, there's a lot of commotion over there. Put another ball down and he sliced it over and hit a car. And by this time, the police had come out and investigated. And he said, you the man had been hitting those balls over there and hit that lady in the car? And he says, yeah. He said, what are you going to do about it? He said, I think I'm taking my left hand, tip, I put my thumb just a little bit. He had to get rid of that slice, see? What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? There's boys down at the exchange, you know, that feed on the market. Boy, they watch that. They watch that, like the little kitty was. He watching the two kitties are watching the tennis game, you know. And watching the ball go back and forth. Boom, 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 boom. And finally one of them told the other, and he says, that's a pretty interesting game. And he said, yeah. And he says, it's really fascinating to me. He says, my old man's in that racket. What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? You know, this bothers me. You come out of church, and the pastor has just, boy, he has laid it on the line. He's preached one of his best, a stem winder. He has hit the pulpit, and you know, and he spent hours on the message. And he really has a burden. Maybe cried a little. It always helps to cry a little. People ask me how I lose weight. I say, I cry a lot at the table. you come out of church, and what's the conversation out in the vestibule? You know, somebody's wig's off-center, or... or Aunt Hattie's coming to visit, or... we're not going to eat dinner at home today. We're going down to a Holiday Inn. Some bunch of trash. Some husk. We talk about... seems like we make a special effort to talk about trite things. When we should be talking about the Word. We should talk about Jesus. We should be feeding on the Word of God. It should motivate our very hearts and our very lives. What are we feeding on? How about the old pack? Where's my pack? Good night. Thought for a second the Lord might come find me without my verses. I got that from an old boy out here on the castle step one day. One guy said, "Let's see your pack," several years ago, and he said, "I don't have his words. It's in my locker." He said, "Man," he said, "suppose the Lord come find you out your verse." So I, but you know, I dropped off the pack for several years. And I decided, well, boy, if you get a few dozen verses, you know, 25 years, you know, so many a week and so many a year, you know, you get a few dozen. I just memorized from my Bible. That's what I'll do. I'll memorize from the Bible, you know. The only thing is I didn't memorize from my Bible. I went all right for a while. But January was a year ago. I was down with Gene Warr. Old Gene invited me down to shoot some birds. And we went down and spent 10 days with Gene. Gene never told me, "John, how's your verses?" Gene never said, "John, how's your prayer life?" Gene never said, "How's your witnessing?" But following Gene around for 10 days and staying in motels and witnessing to the farmers and to the girl that brought the steaks. Gene's got money enough to buy steaks. And hearing him review his verses with other millionaires and them swap packs, you know, I thought, I've dropped the ball. I'm gonna get hot. And you know, I've been hot ever since. That's right. I've been on them verses ever since. It's because one life, the Holy Spirit, filling this life with the Word of God. I just thought, man, if old Gene and the thousands and thousands that he deals with every day, some win and some lose, buying and selling. I thought, man, if Gene's got time to be sharp on his verses, you ought to hear him go over a verse when he misses a word. You know, sound like a broken record. How's your verses? You know what I'm talking about? Ask your study group leader. You got to get started memorizing Scripture. You got to stay at memorizing Scripture. You got to have Scripture on the table of your heart. I'm kind of glad you don't have an optional session this afternoon so I can preach on memorizing Scripture. What are you feeding on? Some GI in Vietnam, is he feeding on sex, lust, funny books? What are you feeding on? What do you live on? What do you talk about? What's on the table of your heart? Okay? And number three, we minister through the Word. Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the builder that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To be praise and dominion now and forever. Amen. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. What is the oracle? Oracle is a spoken word. Oratory, spoken word of God. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles of the oracles of God. And have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you teach a child, you talk to him. Why do you teach a child by talking to him? Someone tell me. Who's going to tell me? Why do you teach a child primarily by talking to him? Tell me. Please tell me. Go ahead. Pardon?
Can't read.
You can't read. Yeah, that's right. You can't read. So why do you teach a lot of people the gospel? By talking to them. They won't read. Very good. Why don't you girls all be on the head of the class rather than up the back on the back? You talk to them because they won't read. Not because they can't read. But you teach a child because he can't read. Real deep, isn't it? If any man speak, let him speak as the spoken word of God, the utterance of God, the dictionary says. The utterance of God. Talk. What do you talk? You talk God's utterances. Whatever God's uttered, what has he uttered? he uttered the things that are recorded in Scripture, in the Bible. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Have to have someone to encourage us and take us off bird hunting or something to get through to us that you're slack, that you're lax, that you got to get with it. Whatever it takes, see, we need to do it. Why? It's because Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. You have to plant the word. Quite often you meet a person who says, I don't believe the Bible. You say, would you let me tell you what happened to me? Well, yes, I'll let you tell me. Okay, tell them. Give them your scripture. Give them your testimony. Do you have your testimony? You have it memorized? Don't have it memorized in about 3 minutes. Write it out. Some of you have. How many of you have written out your testimony? Good. Last week I had a class here on personal evangelism with the Salvation Army folks. And we sure had a wonderful time. Real wonderful time. It's a national seminar on evangelism. And we Salvationists really have a great time. We get together. That's us, you know me. The sower soweth the word. But they give their testimony. And I would say that in my class, the weakest part of their testimony is they didn't close off with a verse or start with a verse. They just told what happened, but no Bible. No scripture. See? So you want some Bible. You want some scripture. You want to tell what God said. You also want to tell what happened to you. Your testimony. But you want to tell what God said. Because the sower soweth the word. Mark 4:19. That's a tremendous verse. Turn over to Mark. Matthew, Mark. Yeah. Matthew, Mark. It's on page 1737. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Isn't that wonderful? The cares of this world doesn't say necessarily sin or time at the beer joint, just the cares of this world. We have a training program going on here this summer, and I'll be getting together with some of the kids at noontime down in the King James, and my assignment is the use of time and money. Well, that isn't very spiritual, you know. But if you don't know how to use your time, you don't know how to use money. This is on a low scale. This is not investments or anything like that. This is on how to get along on missionary allowance, you see. I've had practice now, qualified. But you can spend a lot of time on the cares of this world. You can spend a lot of time just living, just running here and there, you know, taking the children to music and going by daily vacation Bible school and then the dog to the vet and what have you, see? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Oh la la. Deceitfulness of riches. So many people are working so hard for so little. It breaks my heart. I don't mind working hard, but I want to get lots. So many. So often mama and dad is working and they're not concentrating on where it's going. They're concentrating on getting more. And the more you get, the more problems you have. Income tax. Two jobs, you have to have two wardrobes, more cars. My. Maybe you should put some thought there. The cares of this world. I didn't say wicked things. I didn't say you're bad. You are bad, but I did not. And the lust of other things entering in does what? Choke the word. Let's say that together. Choke the word. Say it again. Choke the word. Say it again. Choke the word. And it, the word, see, becomes unfruitful. Now you gotta have that seed in the ground, you know. And the seed comes up. The sower soweth the word. It's the word that comes up. It's the word of God in our hearts that comes up. And the word becomes fruitful, unfruitful. God has called every Christian to be fruitful. 2 Corinthians 5:19. to witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You and I have the job of spreading the gospel. You and I have the job, the word of reconciliation. And so often, whether or not we dispense this word, is the attitude of our hearts. And the attitude of our hearts has to do with our relationship to God, and our relationship to God has to do with whether or not the Bible is working in and through our hearts and lives. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:13 through 15, may grow up into him in all things, till we all come to maturity, it says in Ephesians 4. Some of the benefits, when application is made, it gives joy. John 15:16, thy word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Eat the words. We have a little shop down here, and we have several little saws. And you know, sometimes you push a piece of lumber through the saw, and you might use the expression, my, this saw just eats up that lumber. You use this expression, eats it, you know. Sometimes you use expression like it's just the car just eating up the highway. Eating isn't always what goes into the mouth. Sometimes what goes into the mind. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. The battle today is for the minds of men. It gives light. Psalm 119:130. Thy words give light. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Opportunity for victory. Doesn't necessarily guarantee victory. Opportunity for victory. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119:9-11. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Some months ago, a friend of mine came to see me. He was a professional man. I met him downtown. He stayed with me several days out here. And met him downtown. We had coffee. And over the coffee, he started crying. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm running. Running from God. What had happened? He was living with another woman. And she wasn't a Christian. He was a layman and a good preacher. Had a fine wife. Lovely, beautiful thing. I told him he was stupid and blind. You know, I said, you can ask anybody. I said, I don't know what you got, but boy, if it's any better than what you're leaving, I tell you, she must be nice. But the word did not give him victory because he refused it. And the word won't give us victory, but it's an opportunity for victory. That I might not sin against thee. The word doesn't keep you from lying, doesn't keep you from losing your temper, but it tells you shouldn't do that. It's an aid in witnessing. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You want to fish for men? Follow Jesus. How do you follow Jesus? Follow him through the Bible. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen we love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We don't see him in a person like I see you, but we see him through the word of God by faith. Aid in meditation. Psalm 1:1-3, delight in the law. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Isn't that great? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when? After you meditate day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. I wonder if you and I shouldn't take some solos, like the little boys, 14, 15, 16, 17. I wonder if we shouldn't take some solos. I wonder if we shouldn't take some bullion cubes and some cartridge soup or a bottle of pop and some raisins or something. Maybe not overnight, maybe just several hours. Maybe in our room. Maybe at the park. I wonder if you and I shouldn't take some solos and just be right by ourselves for enough hours so that it would come through to us that our relationship depends upon us and God, not us and friend wife or friend husband or the children or Aunt Hattie or the neighbors or those awful things old people said down at the church. Horrors. But just us and God. Review. Three things the word will do. One is what? Salvation. Say it together. Salvation. Two is building. Three is ministry. Let's go over it again. One.
Salvation.
Two.
Building.
Three.
Ministry.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the good times you give us in the Word of God. Lord, Lord, continue to enable us to kindle our hearts to feed on this precious book. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our wrongdoings. And when we meditate too long, or even on the cares of this life, much less anything in regard to lust or wickedness. And help us, Lord, to have victory over things so that we can give more and more of our energies to Thee, to the Bible, and to others, and to the ministry, and getting out of the gospel to save people from everlasting hell so that they might have everlasting life with Jesus. Amen.